and now with the New York Times NBA reporter, Tanya Ganguly. Tanya, thank you so much for joining the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And by the way, I wish we had, like, there was so much other stuff going on. I wanted to ask about your piece about how the Knicks' success, part of it comes down to the players are actually genuine friends with one another. I thought that was such a fascinating angle. But we have to start here. How special is everything that is going on with the Knicks? I was a Knicks fan before there was a Raptors team. I haven't been this excited since Allen Houston's four-point play, you know, in the late 90s against the Pacers. How special is what we're seeing going on in New York?
Yeah, you know, I think two things. One, like, they're a legitimately good team, and I think the common prevailing thought about this team was that this is a team that's waiting for the superstar. You know, you've created, like, a good, solid complementary pieces. Jalen Brunson's pretty good. You know, like, when they were created, I think people thought they're pretty good, but they're just waiting for that star. And they may still be a star away from being an actual championship contender, but they're showing that, you know, they can compete with the best in the league. They've showed that this season. And if I can, you know, you mentioned my story. I mean, what I was looking at really was the idea that researchers and, you know, they talk about how if you have friends in your workplace, the whole organization will benefit. Your performance will be better. Other people's performance will be better. There are just things that friends are able to do that you can't really do as well with acquaintances or just coworkers that you may not like. And the Knicks have these, you know, those three Villanova guys, three guys who all went to college together, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Dante DiVincenzo. They've been so crucial for them. Last night, you know, you saw at the end of the game, Brunson and DiVincenzo had those two amazing shots, and Hart has just been such a, I mean, he's never going to get to rest again. And they just, you know, they fit so well together, and it bleeds out to the rest of the team. And it's been so long since the Knicks have been this good. It's been so long since they've been this likable. So it is really a special time for the franchise right now.
And I think what's likable about it is for the fan who doesn't have, you know, they don't have a rooting interest in Philly or Miami. They're just an NBA fan. The Knicks are easy to root for because, as you mentioned, they are really hardworking. They give it all out there. I know that's a cliche, but I think part of it is sports fans, every now and then we just want to see something different. We've seen the script where the team that wins it all has the best player on the court. We know what it looks like. But for New York to go on a deep run where they don't have one of those, you know, those actual top seven elite players that move mountains, I think just from an aesthetic standpoint and a different story standpoint, I think that's what is attracting a lot of fans.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, Josh Hart, I think, is one guy that, I mean, all three of those guys that I just mentioned, that's the thing about them is that they're hardworking and they may not be a top tier talent, but they're playing together like, you know, better than a lot of top tier talent can play by themselves, you know, and I think this New York really, like, they really, this really, you know, is something that I feel like, I think New Yorkers feel that they can relate to, even though I wouldn't call this city an underdog city at all, but I think this idea that these guys they're winning because of how hard they work and how tough they are. Like, that really resonates here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in Toronto, which is one of the wealthiest cities in Canada, you know, our favorite basketball player was like Jerome Williams, JYD. It's just part of sports DNA. You always kind of root for that. But before we do bigger picture, just go back to that game. 47 seconds left. New York is down 101-96. Maxey and Embiid have both had incredible games. Did you think there was any chance the Knicks were going to come back after Kyle Lowry missed that second free throw?
I can't say that I saw the game unfolding like it did. I don't think anyone did.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say. I thought after a little while, I was like, yeah, this is, they put up a good fight, but they're going to lose this game. And we'll see what happens after that. So I was surprised for sure.
Yeah, it was crazy. On the other end, if you're Philadelphia, what is your emotion now? Is it still anger at the officials, Or is it more a feeling of we let one slip away when, even though Embiid wasn't the most efficient, he's got 34, Maxey's got 35, Maxey almost had a triple-double, that they let one slip away when their two stars put up star-like numbers?
Yeah, and I think when you look at a game like that, and if you'll allow me to, I'm sure you were planning to transition to the Lakers at some point, but I think it's a similar idea. It's that you had this game that was very much in your grasp, that you're playing, you're against a team that's a higher seeded team, you're on their home court, you have a chance to steal one there, and you came so close, and then you lose in this just devastating fashion. I think that can take a bit, you know, I think that is a real test for an organization. Like, one, are you tough enough to come back from that? Or are you going to be overwhelmed by this feeling that you did the best you could and it still wasn't good enough? That happens to a lot of teams, and it'd be interesting to see if it happens here with both the Sixers and the Lakers.
Well, it gets more interesting when Embiid says we're going to win the series. By the way, Tanya, how dare you think I'm going to talk about Lakers and Nuggets? I have 12 Cavs Orlando Magic questions for you. No, that's not true at all. Actually, you wrote a piece on Jamal Murray. Before we talk about the collapse of the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis afterwards, how remarkable, let's do a little Canadian content, how remarkable not only was that fourth quarter, but the winning shot was a step back 15-footer over Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about angles, right? Jamal's so much smaller than him, but in that moment, I mean, and Jamal is very, you know, he can be a very cold, I mean that in a good way, like a very cold shooter. He's the kind that like doesn't let the moment be too much for him. I think you always see him elevate a little bit in the playoffs. And I think part of that is that this is the time of year when he may never be one of those guys he's already not one of those guys that's a perennial all-star. But his legacy, I think, is going to be more based on the fact that when the playoffs came around, you know, Jamal Murray was essential and always played up to the moment.
I think just the mental fortitude. He misses 13 of his first 16 shots. And then the fourth quarter, 6-for-8, and takes that shot over a guy who could win Defensive Player of the Year. That was just remarkable for Jamal Murray, considering how bad that game started. If we keep on this theme of wasted performance in a loss, what's it like to be a Laker now where Davis is brilliant for three quarters? LeBron puts up big numbers. Even D'Angelo Russell was 7-for-11 from three, and they still end up losing by two.
Do you remember the 2018 finals much?
2018, that was the year before the Raptors won. That was was that Golden State beating Cleveland? Oh, I do. Oh, that's the wrong way. Dribbling at the clock game, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, J.R. Smith made that big mistake, and the Cavs got swept. And that team, I covered that series. It was LeBron's last series in Cleveland, and that game one was their chance. You know, that was one of those they're playing up against this team that's very clearly better than them. They knew that the Cavs knew that their chance was this game one. If we can win this game, who knows what can happen after that, but we've got to win. You know, LeBron played so well. He had almost a 50-point triple-double. It was a great performance, and then they lost in very heartbreaking fashion again. And after that game, I remember LeBron just seeming like he knew that it was over. You know, he was like, that was our shot. And he never would say that, obviously, because you're a competitor, you're not going to say it out loud, but that was the feeling that I got. And I think, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you have star performances and you get so close, and the Nuggets, getting so close to the Nuggets, I think for the Sixers it's a little bit different because the Knicks are still a little bit unproven. The Nuggets are the defending champions. They're just as good as they were last year, even if they didn't you know, have, even if they didn't win the finish the, with the best record in the conference, you know, that's got to be very deflating for the Lakers that they weren't able to pull that out. Especially they were up big, they got good performances from their stars. That'll be tough to come back from.
By the way, I love that analogy shown by Tanya Ganguly from the New York Times, the 2018. Yeah, I remember that game one. LeBron did everything, and they lost because of that one. Well, you know, that one moment certainly didn't help. All right, I'll end with this. Look ahead tonight. Tanya, you can only – I'm going to give you two options. You may only choose one. Are you ready?
Oh, no. Okay.
Now, this one's easy. More interesting for tonight, you may only pick one. Anthony Edwards versus Kevin Durant, or the Dallas Mavericks trying to shake off whatever the hell that second quarter was in game one against the Clippers. Which is the more interesting storyline for you?
I think that I love Anthony Edwards, but I'm going to pick the other one because I think the Mavs have it in them to shake that off. I think that was an uncharacteristic, performance. So I'm interested to see what happens there.
Tanya, if people want to read your work, if they want to find you, where do they go?
I write for the New York Times, and you know, I'm on Twitter at Tanya Ganguly, and yeah.
Perfect. Hey, Tanya, really appreciate I can't wait. I didn't get a chance to read it yet. I'm going to be reading it a little bit later on as I'm a professional uncle, so I have more time on my hands. I was a Knicks fan back in the day. Your piece about the Knicks' success and how actually just being friends with your coworkers plays a part. I think it's a cool angle, and I appreciate you taking time to join the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
100%. That is Tanya Ganguly from the New York Times.